Today on Maine Calling, Maine Turnpike Authority Chief Andre Briere. Maine Turnpike is by far the busiest road in Maine, with more than 95 million vehicle trips last year. Over its 79-year history, it has changed a great deal with the times, from widening projects to the EasyPass system. And more changes are on the horizon under its new leadership. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, our guest is the director of the Maine Turnpike Authority, Andre Briere. Briere has been on the job less than a year and has already identified some of his top priorities for the turnpike: safety measures to protect turnpike workers, revamping service plazas, and finding ways to streamline the toll-taking system even further. What are your questions about the Maine Turnpike's future? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. Quarry Cottages at Highland Green, committed to providing low-maintenance living and offering custom homes and quarry cottages, highlandgreenlifestyle.com. And by Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping northern New England communities thrive. You matter more, bangor.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today we talk with the Maine Turnpike Authority's new director to learn about his plans and priorities for Maine's busiest road. Andre Briere has led the MTA since April. He came here from the New Hampshire Department of Transportation and has an interesting background that includes service as a U.S. Air Force colonel and as a defense attaché to Moscow. What questions and comments do you have about Maine's Turnpike? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call. 1-800-399-3566. Andre Briere, welcome to Maine Calling.
Thanks so much for having me today, Jennifer.
So I have to ask you, how do you think your background, especially your time in the Air Force, has prepared you for this role as director of the Maine Turnpike Authority?
Yeah, I thanks for the question. It can seem, I think, on its face a bit jarring because I, you know, spending all the time I did as a pilot and in the Air Force and in the intelligence arena, like you said, finally concluding my career in Russia, doesn't seem like it's a natural fit for transportation. But part of my career, you know, as you get more senior, you don't choose the assignments you get. So about 12 years ago, I was assigned as the second in command of all transportation for U.S. forces in Europe. And part of that was working national level transportation issues, planes, trains, automobiles, moving cargo, equipment, food, et cetera, to our forces in Europe and Africa. So I had a really good 2.5-year crash course in transportation issues of all sorts, in addition to being a transportation practitioner for most of my career, really gave me the bug and went to New Hampshire DOT shortly after retiring from the military, spent 4 years there. These fine folks at Maine Turnpike knew of my work in our national organization, so asked me to interview. So that's kind of how I got here.
I understand you have a big list of goals for the Turnpike, but that number one is improving safety for crews in work zones. You did Absolutely. A study last year that looked at how many drivers speed in work zones. So, Andre, how bad is it? Are people going 5 or 10 miles an hour over the posted speed or more? And what are you hearing from workers about how they feel when they're out there?
It's such an important issue, and it's, you know, it's at the forefront of my mind. I have no greater responsibility as executive director of the Turnpike than ensuring that the folks who work for me and our partners in the contracting community get to go home each night to their families. It's it is an undeniable fact that our roadways are a hazardous place to work, but work we must. We have to keep up and improve our turnpike through regular projects, and that means putting our workers in close proximity to traffic. Now, part of my work, I mentioned in my previous answer, I was a board member of the American Association of State Transportation Officials. That's the national organization for commissioners and secretaries of transportation. While I was there, I worked on the issue of, and it's really a nationwide issue, of excessive speed in our work zones and on our highways, and it became a particularly acute after the pandemic. We had about 21, 22, 23, a really steady ramp up of speeds on our nation's highways. Secretary Buttigieg spoke a lot about this. And that really came from a decrease of enforcement over that time period, just because of the very understandable dangers during the pandemic. But what it left us with is a situation where every state in the country has to grapple with these excessive speeds. Now, what we found over the summer, we did, and this was simply baseline data gathering, we did about 2.5 million measurements through work zones. And this is not just, a work zone at night when no workers are present. The measurements we took were all in work zones when workers were present, work was being done. What we found was that it depends on the month, we did this from July all the way through October, between 65 and 75% of all vehicles transiting our work zones were traveling in excess of 11 miles an hour over the speed limit. So that's greater than 11 miles and over the speed limit.
Most
drivers were doing that. Now, what I will say is that right around there, right around 11 miles an hour, is really the borderline between safe and unsafe driving through these work zones. Work zones, as many listeners know, usually feature, some change in traffic pattern, whether that's a lane shift or, all lanes shifting because there's extensive bridge work. These are inherently dangerous places, so excessive speed, coupled with those, with that dynamic of workers working in close proximity to traffic, coupled with something we have really seen an increase of over the last 5 to 10 years, and that is faces and phones. So that's distracted driving. The three-legged danger stool of traffic is inebriation, inattention, and excessive speed. If you can take one of those factors out, you make everything a lot safer. And I think we as a nation have done a lot to make a dent into intoxicated driving, whether that was through the efforts of Mothers Against Drunk Driving or, the emergence of Uber as an alternative. We've really made a lot of headway there. What we've backslid on to a large extent is the distractedness. So what we find is the vast majority of work zone crashes, and your reader, your listeners might be surprised to know, here in Maine, over the past 5 years, we've had almost 3,000 work zone crashes. So 2,979 to be exact. That was as of a couple months ago. And I wish I could say that count wasn't increasing, but it really is. And 16 people have lost their lives in work zone crashes in our state over the last 5 years. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of crashes. And I think you mentioned the work zone automated enforcement bill that we're advocating in the legislature this session, LD 1457, is really designed to calm and slow traffic in these work zones, and we think it's very important.
So you're advocating for a bill, a new bill, that If it is passed, would this create cameras on the turnpike? Is that what it would do?
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand that we are not first out of the gate with this. This is legislation that I've been involved with this effort for a number of years. 23 other states currently have fully operational programs, and what these do is set up well noticed. So, you know, this is nobody's getting surprised by these. Lots of signage to let people know that there's automated enforcement ahead. These are mobile vehicles with radars and cameras that only take pictures of license plates of vehicles that are going more than 11 miles an hour over the speed limit through work zones. And the intent is not to give people tickets, quite the opposite. The intent is to give no tickets at all and have traffic just slow down. Again, the pad is very generous. You know, anybody can... You know, just if you don't have cruise control on and you're headed down the highway, especially a wide road like the turnpike, it's perfectly understandable that you're going to vary up and down a little bit. But this is only to get people to go below 11 miles an hour over the posted speed limit. So just calm traffic.
Legislation has to be passed to do this. This is something you can't just do unilaterally.
That's correct. Because of a number of previous laws on the book in the state of Maine. And look, I am a driver too. I don't want speed traps. I don't want to get caught. You know, it's certainly true that there are some municipalities around our country, especially with like things like red light cameras or, I guess municipalities tend to be the worst actors here. If you've ever lived in Washington, D.C., you know the city of Washington loves to get you going 1 mile an hour over the speed limit because that's a major source of revenue for them. This is not that, right? This is purposely designed in the way the bill was constructed. And I think it's important to note, no state funds go to this program whatsoever. This is funded entirely by Maine Turnpike. And it's just a reminder, that's most of our revenue comes from out-of-state drivers. Two-thirds of that comes from out-of-state. So this is Maine Turnpike funding this to the tune of about $2 million a year to implement this program. None of the revenues for violations come back to us. They all go to the general fund in the state. So this is something that I think is so important. I'm buying safety for my employees and our partners and our state troopers. I'm so passionate about it, and it's important, I think, for all Mainers to understand. We have robust privacy protections in this bill. We've worked very closely with ACLU since the bill was carried over last session to not only limit the amount of time. I think in the original legislation, it was about a year that we were able to hold on to the photographs of license plates that were speeding. We reduced that to 30 days. So we don't hold on to this data at all after final adjudication. That just means once you paid your fine, that gets destroyed. We've also added an independent third party data auditor to the bill. And we have offered ACLU and other privacy groups the ability to choose who that is. So it's truly independent, truly third party to make sure we're doing what we're doing. We think after all the work that's been done, after all the legislative work and work with stakeholders the last 5 months, this is truly model legislation nationwide for privacy and ensures that it doesn't become one of those programs that Mainers resent, that it's truly designed just to slow traffic.
All right. Well, let's talk about some other things that are kind of in the news. When you first came to the Turnpike, you talked about improving service plazas, including making changes in the food options. A lot of people were unhappy with the idea that Maine might have Chick-fil-A restaurants in the service plaza. So what's the latest? Where are we in the plans to upgrade the service plazas?
Thank you for that question. That's really timely because we just signed the memorandum of understanding that gets us to the end stage of negotiations with Applegreen to improve those service plazas.
Applegreen is what?
Applegreen is our partners. So if you think of these as public-private partnerships, the service plazas, we own the underlying infrastructure, we own the buildings. What we do, and we have done for the last 25, or actually since, I take it back, it's since the inception of the Turnpike, because prior to that it was other providers. We partner with private companies to actually run them. So it was HMS Host. HMS Host, right around 2020, was that contract was bought by Applegreen, which is a global company that focuses on service plazas. They own the contracts for systems like the New York Thruway, the Jersey Turnpike, up and down the East Coast. They know what they're doing. They're going to put in about $25 million to renovate and modernize our service plazas to provide a better experience for Mainers. And the restaurant options, I'm so glad you asked. No, Chick-fil-A will not be coming in. While we are not announcing yet, we're going to do that in a press conference, hopefully in the next month or two, with Applegreen's, what those selections are. What I can tell you is that my guiding principle, and the guiding principle that I led with in this contract renegotiation, was these service plazas, they don't need to be fast food wastelands, right? We can provide healthy options. Options determined, we are not going to move to all electronic tolling. We're going to